The world of the prophet Zechariah lies decimated surrounding Mount Zion. Pieces of pottery and clay have been broken and are scattered throughout what used to be a glorious city of Jerusalem, what used to be the grand temple of King Solomon. Now they only live in the deep memory of the tribe of Israel. Released from their exile in Babylon by the Persian king Cyrus, a remnant of Hebrew people, men and women who were excited and passionate about this once glorious mountain, have returned from Babylon. Led by prophets and priests like Zechariah, when they finally made the trek back, what was once left of this grand city of Jerusalem has now been depopulated and left defenseless with no wall, plundered for over 50 years by roving clans of people throughout the area. What once seemed like a simple and easy task for these remnant people, the rebuilding of the temple of Yahweh so that their people could have a spiritual home once again, has proved difficult. The local administrative officials there in Palestine, who represent the Empire of Persia, have been unsympathetic to this Jewish plight of rebuilding the temple. Building has had to happen from scratch. Nothing existed. There were no building supplies. There were no places for people to live. And soon political strife overcame this small band of remnants, these pioneers. And for over 50 years after they return, there is no temple, no sacrifices. And for them, it becomes a whole nother defeat. And it's into this decimated world that the priest Zechariah becomes the prophet Zechariah. And he begins to preach. To begin to preach to a people who are discouraged and forlorn, who are afraid, who are lost and discouraged. Chapter 8 of the book of Zechariah provides a whole list of some of Zechariah's sermons, each sermon beginning with, "Thus says the Lord of hosts," reminding these lost people again and again that God has not forgotten you. Reminding them of the purpose for which they were called to live. Demonstrating to them that the Lord's attention is upon them once again. See, rather than the words of destruction, of warning that we receive from the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, Zechariah preaches a message of hope. Listen again to Zechariah 8. Verses 12 and 13 to these people. "For there shall now be sowing of peace. The vine shall yield its fruit, the ground shall give its produce, and the sky shall give their dew. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things." Verse 13. "Just as you have been a cursing among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you. I will save you, and you will be a blessing. Do not be afraid. No, instead, let your hands be strong." Zechariah announces to this people of Israel, to this folks who have been struggling year after year, a new day is dawning in the rubble of Jerusalem. "It only seems that you have been a curse among the nation," God tells them, "but things are different now. The Lord of hosts has come to save you, and to send you to be a blessing to the world. The words of the Lord restore to this small remnant people the covenant of their own creation. These words take them back to the very genesis of their tribe, to the how they began, to the purpose of their existence. The Lord takes them back before the fall of Jerusalem, back before the civil wars that seemed to tear families apart, back before the great national dynasties of David and Solomon, back even before they possessed any land, back before they were slaves in Egypt, back to a day when the people of God existed only as a promise, back to God's calling of Abram in Haran in Genesis chapter 12. You remember these words, Genesis chapter 12. "Go from your country," God told Abram, "and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curses you, I will curse." And here is the sending. "And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." You see, the Lord saves us. The Lord delivers us. The Lord restores us to our naturally created order for a very specific purpose, so that we may be a blessing in the world. The followers of Jesus, as followers of Jesus, you and I, God saves us so that we may be a blessing in the world. The gift of salvation and the call to be a blessing are one and the same. They cannot be separated. We can't just do one without the other. This morning, as we celebrate Memorial Day, as Ed did such a great job of remembering those who have served and who have died on behalf of our country, we also welcome in the very first days of summer. There are 3 months between now and Labor Day. 3 months of our lives. 3 months in which, for many of us, our routines change, whether it's here at church, whether it's with our families, whether it's with school. 3 months of the year of 2011, which can either simply pass and we show up at Labor Day and say, "Well, what a great summer that was," or 3 months that can make an eternal difference in the world. 3 months that if we chose to live them in a certain way, could bless the world. This summer, our theme at First Baptist Church is "Be a Blessing, a Summer of Service," based on this verse in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 13. So what I want us to do this morning is look more closely at this verse. First, just verse 13. To go back to our core beliefs. To go back, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And to look not only as God has called these remnant into the world, but as God calls us. The first thing we see in chapter 13 is that the Lord of hosts tells the people of Israel, "I will save you." To the people who were lost and desperate, discouraged, afraid, alone, God brings good news. "I will save you." Yes, you feel like your lives have been spent for naught. Yes, you feel ruin all around you. Yes, you are desolate and discouraged. "But I am the answer," God says, "to your seeking. You cannot save yourselves. It only comes by my grace. The Lord is reminding the people of Israel that they are the people of God. They are the people of the covenant that God established with Abraham. And while they have felt lost and cut off from who they have been created to be, God has come to save them, to restore them, to bring them back into who God wants them to be as children of God. This is the promise. I will save you. You see, being a blessing begins with good news, salvation. Before we can be a blessing, we must know Jesus. See, we were created in the image of God. We were drawn by love to realize our inheritance as the children of God. We can be a blessing because of the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ in our lives. The blessings of our lives extend out from all of the love that we have received from Jesus. This morning, there are folks here, I believe, who probably can relate to these people, this remnant of Israel, stuck in this decimated town of Jerusalem, waiting for something to happen. You feel lost and discouraged, afraid at times. Maybe you feel like your life is wandering aimlessly. You've probably tried to change your life many times, only to have it fail. The word of the Lord for you today is this. Thus says the Lord, I will save you. This is the good news for you and for those beyond these walls who need to hear it. The Lord says, I will save you. What a great blessing. What a great gift. The second thing the Lord says to the people of Israel is this. Not only will I save you, you will be a blessing. The Lord of hosts tells the people of God that you will be a blessing. You see, the world needs God's blessing, and you are it. You are the vessels, the clay pots, for which God uses to bless the world. Without you and me, God doesn't have a strategy. He's banked it all on us. The Lord reminds the remnant in Israel of their original covenant purpose. God had told Abraham, I will bless you. I will make your name great. And in you, all of the nations, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. You see, the Lord saves us so that we may be sent out into the world. As followers of Jesus, the gift of salvation we have received comes with a call to be a blessing, a call to be sent out, a call to mission. We can't accept one without the other. They're inseparable. From the very beginning of all of creation, this is how God banked his blessing in the world. Upon ordinary people, ordinary vessels like you and me, living out their blessing in the world. This summer, I invite our entire church, First Baptist Church, to embark upon a blessing strategy, an intentional effort to bless other people in the name of Jesus. We are sending our church beyond these walls and into our community and into our world with this mission. Bless people and make sure they don't deserve it, because none of us do. We don't own the blessings that God has given to us, and we shouldn't get to decide who else deserves them as well. So this summer, Will you give blessings to other people who don't deserve it? Let me give you some examples of what blessing others might look like. For example, this summer, First Baptist Church will continue to sponsor several events and camps designed to bless other people. We got all of our folks who are going to Nicaragua in red this morning. They leave next Saturday to bless people in Nicaragua. We have Camp Mosaic happening in June, Camp Agape in July, VBS, children's ministries, youth ministries, a family mission trip to Hunting Island State Park in South Carolina in September. Maybe you are involved in one of these things. Maybe you're planning to be involved in one of these things. My challenge to you is don't just sign up as a volunteer. Sign up so that you may bless other people in the name of Jesus. When you serve in these camps or serve in Nicaragua or serve as a volunteer or as a chaperone at a youth trip, find ways to bless someone in the name of Jesus and make sure they don't deserve it. Maybe you pray with a child or another staffer. Maybe you serve someone unselfishly in some way. Maybe you share the story of Jesus with someone. Find a way to be a blessing to someone. But there are other ways too. You can choose to bless the wait staff at the restaurants, the frazzled woman at the bank, the foreigner at the convenience store, by asking them simply, "How can I ask God to bless you today?" And then stand back and be willing to accept their response, because it will happen. Find creative ways to pray for strangers. Ask an acquaintance at work, "How may I pray for you?" Find creative ways to show love to someone who doesn't deserve it. Perform random acts of kindness to people around you. Pay for a stranger's meal or for their gas. Help a mom so that with all those kids trying to get from the fast food counter to the table. Think about creative ways to bless the people in your office or in your school or in your family or at the hospital or at Walmart. The opportunities are endless. They're only as limited as what our minds can contain. If we will simply begin to ask ourselves every day, "How will I allow God to bless someone through me today?" Being a blessing requires this. It requires prayer and intentionality. If we say, "Lord, use me," God will. But see, here's the challenge. When we enter into a blessing strategy, when we live out our calling as Jesus followers, there are risks and there are rewards. And when we offer people a chance to share their lives, oftentimes they will. And they will invite us into their own pain and into their own joy. And here's why we need the rest of verse 13 as a part of this blessing strategy. Look at the third thing. The third thing the Lord of hosts tells the people of Israel is this: do not be afraid. Yes, I'm going to send you as a blessing, but I want you to know this: don't be afraid. I am moving you from a people of cursing to a people of blessing. I am saving you. I am transitioning you from one way of existence to another. And I know that that transition scares you. Don't be afraid. You see those words every time God begins this massive movement within his people. When he comes to Mary and begins to tell her about this baby who has been implanted inside of her, who's God's son, the angel says to her, "Don't be afraid." When Jesus walks on the water out to his disciples in the boat and they don't know who this is, he says, "Don't be afraid." The same is true for us. For some of us, the thought of approaching a person that we don't know and asking them if we can pray for them, to pray for God's blessing in their lives, is truly terrifying. The idea of talking about your faith or praying out loud with someone has us shaking in our boots. To be a blessing, though, requires this type of intentionality and our willingness to step out beyond the places that we feel comfortable. If the thought of being a blessing terrifies you, then today the words of the Lord are for you. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of what others are going to say. Don't be afraid of how others will respond. Don't be afraid of your inexperience. This is God's message to us today, First Baptist. As we walk into a summer of blessing, don't be afraid. Why? Look at the last part of the verse. The fourth thing the Lord of hosts tells the people of Israel is this: let your hands be strong. The people of Israel are not to be afraid because God will make their hands strong for the task ahead. God is working in their situation to help finish this temple, and He does. God's power works through them to complete the task and to establish a whole new way of living as Jews, a way of living that continues even to today. The same is true when we commit to be a blessing in our community, in Nicaragua, and throughout the world that God takes us. Why should we not be afraid? You see, as we go out to be God's blessing in the world, the power of God, the power of the resurrection, the power of the Creator rest in our hands. Listen to these passages. 2 Timothy 1:7. For the God has not called us to a spirit of timidity, but to a power and love and discipline. Ephesians 3:20. Now God is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. God's power is working in us as we embark on a blessing strategy. This summer, I am asking you, each of us in our congregation, with the power of God within us, to intentionally commit to bless someone in the name of Jesus. You've got those, hopefully by now, you've gotten these little commitment cards. You'll find them. They're just two simple commitments. First commitment is this: I commit to bless one person in the name of Jesus this summer. Just one person. One intentional act of kindness or love or sacrifice or prayer in the name of Jesus. Maybe you'll do more. Maybe you'll get so used to it, you say, well, I'll bless one person every week. But all we're asking is if you'll be willing to take a step and say, Lord, I don't know how I will do it, but I commit to bless one person this summer. And the second commitment is like it. I commit to share the story of this blessing with someone. See, when we commit to blessing, God begins to move in our lives, and it helps us to share our stories with each other. You'll find another in our pew racks around us, and they'll be here all summer. It's little cards that say this: share your story. And so all summer long, we're going to invite us, and there'll be opportunities for this on our website as well, for you to simply to jot down, how did God use me as a blessing, and what did I experience? And to turn it in during our time of offering as a way of sharing what you do. Commit to bless one person. Commit to share that story with someone. This morning, in a few moments, we're going to ask you to come up front to be able to make these commitments. And I invite you to think and pray about this. Because today we can rejoice that Jesus saves us. Praise be to God, Jesus saves us. And at the same time, God calls us out of our comfortable places, through our fears, with the power of God, to be a blessing in the world. We are a force of blessing in this community and in this world. In the name of Jesus. The world would not be the same Because today, people like you and me commit not just to receive God's gift of salvation, but to bless others as well. Let us bless others in the name of Jesus and see what God does. That's the challenge that we present to each of us today. To acknowledge this challenge of blessing, today we want to invite not just to us to commission those who are going to Nicaragua, but to commission all of us, to send all of us out as God's blessings in the world. To recognize it, what we're going to do in a few moments is we're going to invite you to come forward after we have our commitment litany and to place this card in one of these clay pots. And then after you do so, we invite you to pick one of these pieces of clay that has been created just for this worship service as a reminder to keep in your pocket or your purse that we are clay pots. And it is through empty vessels like ours that God uses to bless and change the world. That is our challenge and our commitment today. So let me invite us for a time of commissioning. And I want to do this first by inviting those who are going to Nicaragua next week on Saturday to please stand. If you're going to Nicaragua next week, please stand. We're going to commission you. For those who have already made a commitment to work in Camp Mosaic in June, would you please stand? For those, whether you know it or not, but you always do, who have already said, I'm going to work at Camp Agape in July, would you please stand? And now let me invite everyone else. If you would be willing to commit to bless one person in the name of Jesus this summer, would you please stand? Now, in your worship guide, you'll find a commissioning covenant. Join with me as we read this together. Lord, within these walls, you have taught us to listen and to pray. God, you have made your light to shine in our hearts, the light of your love and salvation.
And through the clay pots of our lives, make a treasure known to all we need, not through our own strength, but through your power.
Within these walls, give us your vision.
Let us understand that beyond these walls, people are hurting, who have never felt your healing hand.
We are the branches. You are the vine.
We are the vessels. You are the wine.
We are the body. You are the head.
For every hunger, you are the bread.
Beyond these walls, send us forward. Beyond these walls, let your will be done.
We are your people. You will never leave us. And we shall work together until your kingdom comes.
Lord, we commit ourselves to you, praying for physical strength, mental alertness, and spiritual dependence to be your vessels of love for the world.
Holy God, we commit ourselves to you, to be your light in the dark world, to show the world your love, and to be the clay pots and the vessel of your power.
Bless us, O Lord, and guide us to be a blessing to others. Amen. As the instrumentalists play, for those who will be willing to make this commitment today to be a blessing this summer, I invite you to come down the two aisles to drop off your commitment cards and to pick up a piece of clay as a reminder that we are clay pots. Come, who will.